we're so used to seeing things that, in my opinion, aren't quite right in our treatments of animals.
Yeah, the less we eat, the less violence is being done, and the less destruction to the environment.
Everyone eats, and everyone has to make a moral decision every time that we sit down to the table.
Welcome to Animal Voices, Western Canada's only radio program dedicated to animal advocacy and compassionate living. This is 100.5 FM Vancouver Co-op Radio in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, unceded Coast Salish territories. Today is Friday, June 24th, 2016. I'm your host, Elise Jacobson, and I'm joined here in the studio today by my guest co-host, Amy Balcom.
Hello.
Our control room operator, Allison Cole.
Hi there.
And our special guest, Dustin Harder, the vegan roadie.
Hey.
Welcome, everyone. So pack your bags and fasten your seatbelts because the theme of today's show is travel. Who out there doesn't enjoy a little globetrotting every now and again? I know I do. Our first interview coming up in about 10 minutes is with Wendy Werneth, the intrepid world traveler behind the blog The Nomadic Vegan. She has visited nearly 100 countries around the globe, and she will be sharing with us some tips for traveling as a vegan, as well as speaking about how she's found being vegan actually makes travel more enjoyable, not less. Our feature interview today is with our special guest, Dustin Harder, host and creator of the popular YouTube series, The Vegan Roadie. We're lucky to have him right here in the studio with us today for a nice long chat about his travels around the United States and Canada and all the amazing vegan food he's eaten along the way. And that's coming up in about half an hour, so stay tuned. But first, let's talk about a special event coming up soon right here in Vancouver, the Scotiabank Charity Challenge Half Marathon. Allison and Amy are both taking part this year.
Yeah, it's actually a half marathon and 5K. I know there's four, I believe it's 4,500 people running the half marathon. And Amy, do you know how many are doing the 5K?
They're so far there on our team that's participating is about 20 people,
but not 4,500 on our team because we're on the same team. There's there's three of us doing what I like to call the please kill me now and let me die run. So, this Sunday when it's going to be scorching hot outside, I keep checking the weather on my phone and it's not changing. It's going to be 23 degrees Celsius and sunny, even though it's pouring rain right now and cloudy. That's the day that I get to go and run for 2.5 hours for the animals. And right. that is essentially why I'm doing it. I did the half marathon for the first time last year and the 5K previous to that, always in support of the Vancouver Humane Society. There, it's a Scotiabank puts on this charity challenge and you can choose which charity you want to run for and you get sponsorships and you do fundraising and those donations go straight to your charity of choice and then the donors get a tax receipt. And so last year I raised over $1,000 and I was so happy to be able to put in all that really, like it was a lot of hard effort and time and a lot of my own money and resources because this is something that I love doing anyways, which is running and physically challenging myself. And I figure why not do it for the animals, because that's what we're all here for, right? Amy, is that sort of the sense that you're getting from the runners on our team?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think everyone is pretty much physically active and they want to participate in something that gives back to the animals and the Vancouver Humane Society. So I think it's a great outreach.
They're raising lots of money too. I don't know what I know we're at 97% of our overall goal, which
that's
I forget
great.
What that is as a whole team itself. And yeah, that's awesome. Vancouver Humane Society has a lot of support. But Amy actually works for the Vancouver Humane Society. So I was wondering if we could take this opportunity just to give us some info about what VHS does in the city for animals.
Well, first off, we're not a shelter, so we're a little bit different than other humane societies around the area. But this is our biggest fundraiser, and Scotiabank gives us that platform, an amazing opportunity to fundraise for the animals, which helps fund our campaigns for factory farming, rodeo campaigns, our Meatless Monday campaigns, and as well as help assist low-income guardians with emergency vet care and spaying and neutering.
Yeah, what I like about the Vancouver Humane Society is that there's something for everyone there, so you don't need to be vegan to support this wonderful organization. VHS does a lot of great work for cats and dogs against the rodeo and other captive animals and against farmed animals as well. So that is why I'm running for the animals. Actually, if you want to know my official quote as to why I'm running for the animals, Amy made it up for me, and it's posted on the Vancouver Humane Society Facebook page this week. I will actually repost it on our Facebook page today during the show with a link if people want to donate to me in support of my half marathon this Sunday, and that donation will go straight to Vancouver Humane Society. So that'll be on the Animal Voices Vancouver Facebook page. So yeah, and you don't need to live in Vancouver to support this run. It's for the animals. It really just all goes to the same place.
It's fantastic. Well, yeah, thank you both for doing that. That's a lot of dedication. So yeah, I wanted to ask you too, Amy, since the theme of the show is travel, you did a lot of traveling last year, correct? Around the States?
Yes, I did.
Did a lot of eating of wonderful vegan food.
Yes, I did.
So do you have any highlights that you'd like to share with us from your travels?
Ooh. Well, I did travel coast to coast, and there were so many different amazing restaurants out there, and I met a lot of amazing chefs. One of my favorite places where people thought I was going to have challenges was in New Orleans, and the po' boys and all that. Someone told me actually that I wasn't going to be able to have a po' boy, and I visited the Seed restaurant.
Yeah. I have had that po' boy.
Let's see. It's so good. Amazing. And, you know, they bring that comfort food of New Orleans to, you know, vegan variety, and oh, it was absolutely amazing.
Yeah. Did you have the beignets?
Yeah.
I said, yeah, so couple. Good. They have vegan beignets.
They have vegan beignets.
They do. Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're fantastic. It's a great restaurant. When I was in New Orleans, I was there on tour last year, actually. I'm a professional musician. I was there with a group that I play with. And it was surprising, some of the vegan food that I found there. And yeah, a lot of people said, New Orleans probably isn't going to be vegan friendly. There's a lot of, you know, meat and the kind of traditional dishes that they make down there. But I had vegan gumbo at one restaurant. It was a non-vegan restaurant, but they had a vegan version of gumbo and like red beans and rice and, you know, all the traditional stuff. It was really lovely. And where else did you go?
I traveled everywhere. There was Etho's in Florida, which was really, really good. They had tons of different options, and I ended up with multiple plates on my table.
Nice.
I couldn't decide. Watercress in Denver has a good variety of food as well.
But oh, cool.
Yeah, their appetizers are really amazing.
Nice. Never been to Denver.
No. I visited the Wild Cow in Nashville twice, actually, in the last couple of years, and it was kind of the place to go after certain festivals.
Nice.
So that was a nice place to all reconnect after a festival season.
Yeah. Oh, okay, so you were traveling around going to festivals,
mm-hmm.
right? Music festivals?
Yes. And,
yeah. Cool. Did you find that, was it difficult to find good vegan food at the festivals? Did you have to kind of travel outside the grounds, or...?
There's definitely some options, like at Sasquatch, there was a couple different booths that had vegan put right into their title, which was really great to see.
Nice.
And same at Bonnaroo Music Festival, they definitely offer spicy tofu curls and different curry dishes. So yeah, I was never without food.
Cool. Wow, that's great to know. Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm surprised that you went to all of these, what I would think of as random places in the United States. I like to stick to New York, Portland, and Los Angeles, because you know you're going to be well fed there. I'll be in Los Angeles in a couple of weeks, actually, and my sister and I are starting to write our list now of all the places we want to go to. But Denver, like, who would have thought, right?
Yeah.
And I'd be scared. So hopefully we'll be learning some tips with the people that we're interviewing during this show on how to find vegan food in different cities and where to go, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I honestly think that, in my experience, just traveling around doing whatever, you know, playing shows and stuff, I think if you're in a major city, you're gonna find vegan food. It's really not hard.
Are there Whole Foods in all the major cities in the States?
Because
that's where I would just go to.
Most of them.
And co-ops. I like co-ops.
Right. Yeah. If you're buying groceries. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's very easy. But yeah, even in terms of vegan restaurants or vegan options at the restaurants, it's, I find if I'm in a city, I'm not worried. It's no big deal. It's only like kind of small remote towns where it can get a little tricky sometimes.
Right.
But even then, there are, you know, little tricks you can
use. Happy Cow, right?
Happy Cow is a lifesaver. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yes.
The app.
Download it on your phone and you won't be sorry.
Yeah, there's a free version, and yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. So why don't we move on to some news? There's been some big things in the news this week. Amy, can you tell us a little bit about what's going on at the Bowmanville Zoo?
Well, I heard that they're closing at the end of 2016, and just due to financial problems, since there was a leaked undercover investigation video done, and Michael Hackenberger has cruelty charges put towards him, and wow. He's currently facing the court. So due to that, they're having financial problems, and they are going to be shutting down.
That's amazing. So do you think that the financial problems are because people have heard about that case and just stopped visiting, or are they're like having to pay a lot in legal fees, or maybe it's a combination of both?
In one of the articles I read, I heard that it was because the attendance was low.
Wow. Wow, yeah, it's amazing. The tide is really changing on that, I think. You know, I find there are still people I talk to occasionally who are very, you know, invested in the idea of zoos and, you know, aquariums and other forms of captivity and stuff. But I think a lot of people are kind of waking up to the fact that it's really unnecessary and pretty cruel to keep wild animals in captivity their whole lives. So, yeah, that's pretty incredible. And it was a PETA investigation, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, and he was filmed, like,
whipping a Siberian tiger multiple times.
And the zoo is denying these allegations, right? They're saying that.
Yes.
But there's video evidence.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Can't deny that.
Okay. Yeah. that's pretty amazing. So they're going to be closing at the end of this year. I hope that other zoos will follow suit. I was actually just reading about the Buenos Aires Zoo in Argentina, and they are planning to close very soon. I think sometime in the next year, after 140 years of being open. It's probably one of the oldest zoos in the world. And there's thousands of captive animals there. But the zoo officials are actually saying they're closing the zoo because captivity is degrading for animals. That was actually the quote, captivity is degrading.
I was surprised to see that. I think that's amazing that they're being aware of that.
Right, and being very open, very honest about it. Yeah, it's pretty incredible. They just couldn't justify it anymore. And I guess with Buenos Aires, the plan is to, as far as I understand, they're going to convert the facility into some sort of a sanctuary, or there's apparently a few animals there who are too old or too sick to be moved, so they're going to have to stay there, but they're apparently not going to be displayed to the public, which is pretty cool. And then the birds who are housed there, I guess, are going to be moved to a reserve, like a nature preserve that's, you know, hundreds of acres wide, and they'll have lots and lots of space to fly and be cared for. And so, you know, I feel like that is pretty awesome. I think that's a great model for places like the Bowmanville Zoo, or, you know, because there's been talk among advocates about, you know, nobody knows exactly where these animals in Bowmanville are going to go, right?
Yeah.
They may end up in other zoos.
Hopefully they can follow suit and end up in a sanctuary.
Yeah, I hope so too. That would be really great. These, you know, nature preserves and stuff. I think there's so many countries have facilities like that. I think Costa Rica a few years ago closed all their zoos and they moved their animals to sanctuaries and nature preserves. So it can be done.
And these closures can serve as examples too to other zoos around the world that it can be done, right? And how to do it.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. Yeah, so hopefully Bowmanville will take some cues from there and try to figure that out. So I understand that we have Wendy on the line right now. Okay, good. So our first interview today is with Wendy Werneth, an intrepid world traveler, vegan foodie, and polyglot who is the brains behind the blog The Nomadic Vegan. She is also the author of the ebook 9 Steps for Easy Vegan Travel. Hello, Wendy, and welcome to Animal Voices.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Great, thank you. I think many of us who are vegan and interested in traveling have had people ask us about, you know, how we'll manage to find enough to eat if we travel overseas. And I was intrigued by what you wrote on your website about how you initially envisioned your blog being a survival guide of sorts, but you found that being vegan has actually made travel about 100 times better. Those were your words. Can you elaborate on this?
Yeah, it was kind of a shocker for me too, you know, like I said, I thought travel was going to be really difficult as a vegan. You know, before I was vegan, I was never really looking for those vegan foods out there, so I just didn't think they were there. And then once I did start looking, I realized that there was a lot more out there than I had ever imagined. you know, I mean, before, I'd like to say that I was someone who, you know, liked to try local specialties everywhere I went, and I did, but I didn't really do that much research on my own, you know. I just looked at my guidebook, and they would say, you know, this and this is the local specialty, so I would order that, even if it was something that I kind of knew I probably wasn't going to like. Whereas now, you know, I really do a lot of research to the places that I go to and really discover the cuisine and then discover the culture and the country through that cuisine, but, you know, always through a vegan lens, through a whole new viewpoint. So it's become this kind of whole new window onto seeing the world in a different way and seeing the places I travel in a different way. So it's been really great.
That's so cool. So you've visited nearly 100 countries around the world. Which ones have you found to be the most vegan friendly?
Well, since I've become vegan, most of the travel that I've done has been in Europe so far. That'll change next year. But so just looking mostly at European countries, I would say Greece and Italy are probably the most vegan-friendly. Greece was actually the very first country that I traveled to as a vegan. And I didn't, you know, like I said, I thought it was going to be really difficult, and it was just the complete opposite. Because of the religion, actually, in the Greek Orthodox Church, they have lots of what they call fasting days. And it doesn't mean that they don't eat at all, but it means that they, you know, they follow these guidelines about what they can and can't eat on those particular days. And it's more or less a vegan diet. And so that means that there are tons of naturally vegan dishes that are in the cuisine and that are really commonly available. And then Italy, too, not for religious reasons, but just maybe for geographical reasons and, you know, cultural, traditional reasons, especially in the south of Italy, there are so many naturally vegan dishes. And I'm actually in the process of writing a book about the vegan food of Italy, a vegan guidebook to Italy, because I think it's something that most people misunderstand. You know, there's so much misconception about Italian food in general, you know, the way that it's been exported to Canada and the U.S. and other countries is really very different from the real Italian food. So, you know, it's not that everything is smothered in cheese, you know, there's actually a lot of plant-based dishes there as well, and that's a cuisine that I really, really love.
Wendy, this is Allison here. Speaking of misconceptions about Italian vegan food, I was one of those people until I read your blog post on The Kind Life yesterday. And that totally, it was so informative. I read that. That's the first thing of yours I've read. And I thought, this person really knows what she's talking about. And my question was going to be, is like, do you have a guide for, like, it was very detailed on exactly what to ask for within that region, because food is culture, right? And you completely like nailed it on the head as to all the different kinds of dishes that they have and how to order vegan. And I guess my question was going to be, is there a place where we can find this kind of info for every country out there? But that's going to be in your book, I guess.
For Italy, definitely that will be in the book. And I do have several posts on my own site as well about Italy. So you can just go to thenomadicvegan.com, and then there's a destinations tab right up at the top, so you can find all of the Italy posts from there. So I've got quite a bit there already, but there's going to be a whole lot more in the book, which I'm in the process of writing now. So yeah, that'll be coming out in the next few months sometime. And yeah, I mean, I want to cover every country in the world eventually. It's a slow process. But I'm getting there. I'm trying to do as much as I can to get the word out.
That's fantastic. So, Wendy, have there been any places that surprised you in your travels, places that you thought would not be vegan friendly but were?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, no place has really been difficult. I mean, definitely some places are more vegan-friendly than others, but I've never starved. You know, I've never not been able to find something to eat. So I would say Spain was a surprise to me. The big cities, Madrid and Barcelona, are incredibly vegan-friendly. And Barcelona actually recently declared itself a veggie-friendly city. Like, that's the official position, the official local government position.
Yeah, I read about that.
Which is pretty amazing. Yeah, did you hear about that?
Mm-hmm.
So, Madrid and Barcelona, tons of vegan and vegetarian restaurants and just lots of options. And then the rest of the country, you know, it's not the same as it is definitely in Madrid and Barcelona. And I don't know that I could really call it vegan-friendly, but, you know, it's a lot easier than people think. And there are actually a number of dishes, you know. Gazpacho, for example, is a cold tomato soup. That's very popular. That's vegan. Paella, like the rice dish, you can easily get paella just with vegetables, and that would be vegan too. So there are quite a few options out there that you can find just in any Spanish restaurant and even in, you know, tiny villages. And lots of tapas too. Tapas are great in Spain because, you know, you just have lots of different options of these little dishes. And each tapas bar has a different assortment of them. So, you know, you might just find two or three in one bar that are vegan, but then you can just move on to the next tapas bar and make it a tapas crawl, you know, going from one to the other. So Spain was actually, a lot more vegan-friendly than I had thought it would be.
Oh, very cool. That sounds like a lot of fun. Have you ever found yourself in any awkward situations revolving around food? Like, for example, someone you didn't share a common language with offering you animal foods or something like that?
Right. That hasn't happened to me yet. And it is something that I've thought about, that scenario of, yeah, like you said, not being able to speak the same language, not being able to communicate with someone and explain why I don't want to accept the food that they're offering. Just because I've mostly been traveling in countries where I do speak the language, it hasn't come up yet, but I'm sure it probably will. So, yeah, I have thought about, you know, how would I handle that. And I read a really interesting post not long ago from another vegan travel blogger who actually went all the way across Russia and through Mongolia doing the Trans-Siberian Railway as a vegan on her own, as a woman, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah,
and
that's incredible.
So she talked about that because apparently that did happen a lot with her on her trip. And one thing that she suggested was to make sure that you always have some food with you that you can offer to share to them, with them, you know. Mm-hmm. So if they try to give you something and you don't want to take it, you can reject it, but then turn around and offer something to them instead, so that it doesn't look like you just don't want to have anything to do with them.
Right. That's a great idea.
Wendy, I'm wondering, just regarding awkward situations, so you haven't had any really with food, but what about in your travels, you know, animal exploitation is rampant around the globe, and in some countries they treat animals in ways that we're totally not even used to seeing here. Not that we treat them any better, but it might be more blatant and more in your face in other countries. So have you experienced situations like that where, I don't know, like say a bullfight in Madrid, or there's the dog meat festival happening right now? Have you had to experience like just things like that, and how have you dealt with them?
Yeah, I mean, one thing that comes to mind, going back to Spain, you do see, you know, posters for bullfights and things like that, but even just walking into a bar or a restaurant, a lot of times you'll see the ham, you know, the legs of ham, of pigs, that are just hanging down from the ceiling, and that's pretty shocking and difficult to sit in the same room with. Or bull heads, you know, and lots of bull fighting paraphernalia on the walls. And that is hard to deal with. It bothers me a lot. But, you know, to be honest, sometimes I have a hard time sitting across the table from someone who's eating an animal. You know, I find that shocking as well. So it's something that, you know, we can't really avoid. I mean, we're going to see it. We're going to see reminders of animal exploitation constantly around us, unfortunately. That's the way the world is now. So I just try to focus on the good and on, you know, the positive impact that I'm having and just try to project a positive, you know, example for the people around me. And then, you know, do a lot of self-care and, you know, make sure you have a strong vegan community around you, or at least an online vegan community that you can go to when you are struggling with this stuff, because it is difficult emotionally.
Absolutely. Wendy, have you had any particularly special or memorable experiences surrounding a meal or relating to veganism in your travels?
Yeah, I mean, I can think of quite a few times, actually, when, you know, I've been in places that were not at all vegan friendly, and I ended up just having amazing meals prepared for me. So I'm thinking of a couple of places in France when I was in Normandy, for example, or in Chamonix up in the mountains. I actually live in Switzerland, so I've done a lot of travel around Switzerland too, and to little tiny mountain villages. And, you know, people there, some of them have never heard of veganism. So, you know, I would tend to, in those kinds of situations, I would tend to approach them ahead of time and, you know, let them know that I was coming and ask if they would be able to prepare a vegan meal. And a lot of times, you know, it's obvious that they're completely out of their element and have never been asked to do this before. Mm-hmm. But they do it, you know, they're so happy to be accommodating. And so when I arrive, they, you know, just bring me this amazing meal, and they're constantly coming back and asking, you know, is it okay? Is this all right? How is everything? So, you know, that's always really touching that people are so willing to please and wanting to please, and even if they don't really understand what you're doing, you know, they want to make sure that you're happy and that they've got everything right. So that's been really special.
Well, that's wonderful. So I'd love to know what general advice you have for vegans looking to travel overseas. For example, do you have any tips for choosing travel destinations or finding good vegan food in a foreign city?
Yeah. Well, choosing travel destinations, this is my personal point of view. I try not to let my being vegan affect my choice of travel destinations, just because I don't want it to be a restriction in any way. You know, I don't want to not go somewhere that I would otherwise want to go because I think that, you know, it's going to be difficult to find food. Because I've learned at this point that, you know, it's never really difficult. Like, there's always a way around it. There's always a way to find food. And most of the time I have the opposite problem of finding too much food, and there's all these different things I want to try and write about on the blog, and, you know, I don't have time, or else I end up eating way too much. So, I mean, in terms of travel destinations, yeah, my personal viewpoint is to not really let it be a factor, but just to go wherever you want to go and then, you know, find the food from there and start researching and discovering the food from there. I mean, obviously, you know, there are some really amazing vegan foodie destinations, like Berlin, for example, in Europe is definitely the, you know, the number one vegan destination if you just want to go just to enjoy the food. But I mean, just go anywhere. Just go wherever you want to go. And then as far as actually finding good vegan food once you get there, well, I've got a lot of suggestions, but we're probably running out of time. So probably the best thing is just to, anyone can download my ebook, which is 9 Steps for Easy Vegan Travel, and it's totally free. So if you just go to thenomadicvegan.com, you'll see a picture of the book right at the top of the homepage, and you can download it from there.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you so much for joining us on Animal Voices today, Wendy, and sharing your experiences and expertise. I noticed on your blog you have a travel map showing which countries you've been to, and it looked like Canada was not highlighted. Is that right?
That was right. I have actually never been to Canada.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a little bit embarrassing. I grew up in the States, so we are neighbors. But I grew up in Alabama, so
great.
It was the southern U.S., so yeah. Really kind of not that close to Canada.
And you're in Italy now.
I've never been.
Well, we hope you'll make Vancouver your next travel destination.
I definitely will get there at some point. And I've heard great things about Vancouver. So
oh, yeah.
I would love to check it out.
We have lots of good vegan food here, and it's very pretty. So come visit us sometime. Thank
yeah,
you so
no,
much,
that's
Wendy.
What I heard. My husband was there. He was there for the Olympics. He's in sports journalism. So
oh, very cool.
I have some slippers, Kwachi. I don't know if you remember, Kwachi was the mascot for the Olympics.
Right, absolutely.
So that's my closest connection with Vancouver, is that I wear Kwachi slippers.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you again, Wendy. It was a pleasure having you on the show. So if
it was great to talk to you.
Great, thanks. So if you'd like to follow Wendy and her travels, download her free ebook, or just partake of some of her vast travel knowledge to use in your own adventures, visit www.thenomadicvegan.com.
Hey there, Co-op Radio listeners. Do you like food? Of course you do. Would you like to learn more about food? Why not? Well, then tune in every Monday at 8 p.m. for Food Line Radio, where we talk all about food. Sourcing food, buying food, the politics of food. Hey, even cooking food. Food, glorious food. Listen every Monday at 8 p.m. for Food Line Radio on Vancouver's Co-op Radio 100.5 FM.
Our featured guest today is Dustin Harder, host and creator of the YouTube series The Vegan Roadie, who we are privileged to have sitting right here in the studio with us. A plant-based personal chef and graduate of the Natural Gourmet Institute in New York, Dustin has served as a recipe developer in the test kitchen of cookbook author and celebrity chef Chloe Coscarelli. Season 2 of The Vegan Roadie is just about to finish filming and will premiere on July 7th. Welcome, Dustin. Great to have you with us.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Yeah, for sure. So first of all, can you just tell us a little bit about The Vegan Roadie? What's involved in filming a typical episode, and what's kind of the mission of the show?
Sure. The mission is to create a resource and also sort of bridge the gap for people that are curious about vegan food. I want it to be fun and accessible and people to be more interested, sort of see the fun in it and the creative side of it and be like, oh my gosh, that food looks amazing. I have to go try it. Not just because it's vegan, but because it actually looks like it's delicious and amazing. And a typical episode, you know, I go in with my cameraman, Drew, and Drew Williams. He's amazing and wonderful. And we go into a restaurant. I contact them ahead of time and talk to the owners a bit and talk to some of the guests that are in the restaurant, see what they have to say about it. And we usually try and cover 2 to 3 dishes. They're popular dishes, something that speaks to me on the menu, and then maybe like a signature dish they have.
Cool. So what inspired you to create the web series, and how long have you been doing it?
There's nothing like it on TV.
We need it on TV.
Yeah, okay? It needs to be on TV.
That'll be a question further into the interview once we learn more about you. But I watched 2 episodes of your show today. I'm like, this is high production value. It needs to be on the Food Network.
Oh, you're the best. Yeah. That was the intention. The original goal was not so much to make a web series, but to make something that people could see, to create the content that people could be like, oh my gosh, this should be a TV show. Why isn't this a TV show? Right. So it was very important for me, if I was going to do it, if I was going to put the effort into it and create something like this, to make sure it was the highest quality that I could get. All things considered, that it's me and one other person who really create the content, you know?
Yeah.
So that was the goal. And it was created again because it wasn't on TV. And I was sort of in culinary school going, what am I doing here at one point? You know, because it wasn't necessarily my desire to work in a kitchen. I love food. I love cooking food. I love creating flavors and dishes. But I didn't want to work on a line in a kitchen. I wanted to make a difference. And I feel like this is my form of activism. You know, I'm creating something that hopefully interests the mainstream. That's the goal, ultimately. Get people to see one thing, see it's creative and delicious, and then they can start exploring things on their own.
Right.
Yeah.
Awesome. So you're just finishing filming season 2, right?
Yes.
So you've been doing it for a couple of years?
Yeah, we've been doing it for a couple of years, and then we've been on the road. Season 1 finished last summer, and that's got 9 episodes out on YouTube now. And then we just took season 2 out. We started beginning of April, so we've been out for 3 months. And I'm leaving here after this and filming at our very last restaurant for Vancouver, and we'll wrap the 11th episode of season 2, and then it's a wrap on season 2, so it's kind of crazy.
Wow, that's a lot of traveling around.
Yeah, we've done 10,000 miles in the last 3 months.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Insane. Yeah.
And you're in a van that was donated to you by Field Roast. Yes. Is that correct? Yeah, that's really cool.
It's amazing. Oh. Field Roast is.
Does it have
awesome.
Like a picture of an apple sage sausage on it?
I wish.
I don't see it out here in front of this.
I wish. I couldn't find parking there. I should have pulled it right up anyway.
Right. Cool. So you've just been in Vancouver for the last few days, mm-hmm. right? Just got here a couple of days ago. So which local vegan hotspots have you visited so far?
This is where I've been. We haven't filmed all these places, but I went to the Black Lodge and I went to Meat on Main and Wallflower mm-hmm. Cafe. Mm-hmm. Well, and I went to Vega headquarters this morning and Cardam Donuts.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Cardam's, yeah.
And then Heirloom. Vegetarian and an Heirloom juice bar. Oh. So yeah.
How places. Did you? So you basically went to all the top hot spots in Vancouver. How did you know? Where do you get your recommendations from as the vegan roadie?
You know, as you guys mentioned, Happy Cow, and I Google like crazy, and I do I do Yelp and Google and Happy Cow, and then I cross reference all of those things, and I just. See what comes at the top of the list, and then I also rely on recommendations from mm-hmm. people that reach out to me or people that I've known. I go to some places I've been to before, and I just kind of go off of what I get the most feedback about.
That's great, because you chose all the right spots.
Oh, unless, awesome.
Can you think
That's
of any,
good to hear.
Are there any places that he's missing?
Oh, I mean, there are a bunch. It's
hard
to
hit them. Have a lot. You have a lot more than what initially came up in the Google
search. Just so you know, Elise is the administrator of the Vancouver Vegans Facebook group, and she's the compiler of the official top vegetarian
I
vegan restaurants.
I should have reached out to you months ago. Yeah. That should have happened.
So I know that Meat on Main is number one on there because I looked at that list the other day.
So
but
good.
Yeah. Banditas Taquera is also high up there.
Banditas,
and so you're missing that one, Dustin. That's,
I'll have to come back then. I guess that just means
absolutely.
I have to come
I know
back.
You like There's Mexican lots. Food because I
do.
Watched your San Francisco episode.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. We ate all the Mexican food in that episode.
Dustin, what's your favorite dish so far that you've tried?
Ah, that is a very
a
difficult
question.
It's huge. I'm a very simple guy. Oh gosh, that's very difficult though. I love complex dishes, but like I said, simple guy. I'm always looking for a delicious macaroni and cheese or a delicious pizza because I think those are standard flavors and textures people are looking for, so I want to offer that to people. I just had an amazing macaroni and cheese in Kansas City, of all places, at Food. It was very simple.
The restaurant was called Food?
F-U-D.
Oh, okay.
And it's it reminded me of like Kraft macaroni and cheese spirals from when I was a kid.
Wow.
So I can't say that necessarily like takes the top dish in all the stuff I've tried because that really is a hard question, but it's definitely a memorable one for me right now.
Yeah.
But like your reaction right now, you're just like, oh, so good because you remember that from a kid, right?
Yes.
So like that's why it's memorable. I had that moment, you know.
Yeah.
So it was great.
Oh, very cool. Mm-hmm. So I think you're. I feel like I saw on your website that you're planning to visit the Acorn, or have you been there yet?
Oh, unfortunately, I wanted to go, but there were just scheduling issues, and I think a chef got ill, so they had to cancel last minute, unfortunately.
Okay. Yeah.
We were
going
to do like a really great little bit on them, but unfortunately, we weren't able to put it
They're
in.
Known to be one of Canada's top restaurants overall. They got an award for that.
Don't tell me that.
Don't
tell me that now.
It is pretty amazing.
Shira was the owner, I believe. She was lovely with me in email, and everything was just set to go. I think scheduling just got a little too hectic.
Yeah,
right?
It happens.
But that means, again, I'll have to come back.
Yeah.
Always a good reason.
Next time, you know, there's so many more. So how long have you been on the road for this season?
For this season, 3 months. 3 months total, yeah.
Yeah, and you said you covered 10,000 miles, right?
10,000 miles. We started in Seattle to pick up the van from Field Roast, and then we went down Seattle, San Antonio, New Orleans, Atlanta, Asheville, D.C. I stopped in New York to be home for like 2 days. Wisconsin, we actually did the Wisconsin Bratfest.
Wow.
So it was an amazing opportunity to be with a bunch of non-vegans and hand them Field Roast food.
Cool.
And kind of just, you know, be casual and like, here, try this. It's great. And they loved it. They thought it was wonderful. So, I mean, that was a really great opportunity to sort of like spread the message with outstanding food.
Right.
And then Minneapolis, Kansas City, Salt Lake City, Portland, and then we were up here.
Have you been to the Herbivorous Butcher?
Oh, yes. That was the reason that Minneapolis went on the list.
My sister did a review of it for our show right after they came out. So they went on, sorry, what did you say about being on the list?
That's how we put the Minneapolis episode on the list this year.
Because I wasn't originally going to go there.
Yeah. And they reached out, and I was like, of course I'm going to go to the Herbivorous. If you're asking me to be there and everyone's talking about you, I'm there. It's done.
Nice. Yeah.
Cool.
It was amazing. What did your sister have to say about it?
You'll have to listen to the review.
I will. I can tell you what I have to say about it.
It's animalvoices.org. She did a really good job.
Oh, it's one of the best. She liked it. It was delicious. They had a brie cheese that kind of just blew my mind.
Wow.
Blew my mind. Yeah. And then they had ribs and just all the deli meat that literally was sliced so thin. I had the best sandwich with Havarti cheese. So there you go. Another one.
Cool.
See? Just all these memorable meals.
a reason to go to Minneapolis.
That's what I mean. Like simple, but delicious.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure. Sometimes that's all you need.
Absolutely.
So, your tour schedule showed that you were in Portland before you made your way up here. Portland. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Good. I know.
Portland's one of my absolute favorite cities for vegan food. So, I'm curious about where you went and what you ate while you were there.
So I ate my way through Portland and then rolled myself to Vancouver, Portland's a difficult place to go to because there's so many places.
So when
I started doing the web series, everyone was like, oh my gosh, are you going to go to Portland? Are you going to go to Portland? Of course I want to, but where do I go? You know? So Homegrown Smoker was absolutely had to go there. Yes. Amy's throwing her hands up in the air. She says, yes. She just had a come to Jesus moment. She said Homegrown Smoker. It was delicious. And then where else did we go? So many places. Papa G's Deli.
Voodoo.
Went to Voodoo. Mentioned. Yeah, I went to Voodoo. It was awesome. They made this amazing, huge donut with a vegan roadie centerpiece on it.
Oh, cool.
That I take a bite of it in the episode, so you see me get all messy with the donut.
Did you go to Portobello?
Did go to Portobello, yes. Okay. Had the manicotti and some pizza.
Wow.
And some gnocchi that was out of this world. There's a place By the By Bar, which is just...
Oh, the By and By. Yeah, that's one of my favorites.
The By and By, just what a great place. Their whole space, lovely. You know, outdoor seating.
They have two vegan bars now, don't they? Two or three?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Same owners, but different names.
Same owners as the By and By.
Different names.
Yeah. And By and By was just so... It was so funny because it was like so hipsterish, but yet so friendly and nice, you know? Like contradicted that whole sort of like hipster vibe, but then had it going on at the same time.
Yeah.
And the food was delicious, you know, and the drinks were on point. Everything was really, really great.
So, Destin, yes. I once went to Portland for 6 days to basically eat. And I gained 12 pounds in 6 days.
I know the feeling.
I was just going to ask you, do you know that feeling?
I know it. I know it well.
How do you manage that?
Well, for these 3 months, I said... forget it.
That's what I said when I went.
You kind of have to, you know, I when will I have an opportunity like this again?
When
I did the series before, it lasted a year and we would film at the beginning of a month and then we'd edit it and we'd release it. And then we'd have another month film. So this time when we were doing 11 episodes in a row, I was just kind of like, there's no, you know, fighting this. Like, just eat and enjoy it.
Right.
So that's what I've done. I'm excited to kind of get back home and get in my kitchen and make some delicious whole foods with, you know, grains and greens and all that good stuff like that. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm ready to chow down on some of that delicious stuff, but it's been really great.
Yeah. Did you, when you were in Portland, did your visit line up with the Vegan Beer and Food Festival?
We came... get this like Whoa. 3 days later
oh no
well like yeah like 3 days later
oh my gosh well Which, I mean it's it not ca- like there's a shortage of things either
right it's kind of like it worked out for the best. That happened with a lot of festivals this year on the tour, and we were always like leaving just as it was like starting. But it kind of worked out because we literally, like, Drew and I get up, go film, come home, do voiceovers. He unloads all of his media onto his computer. We start working on the episode a little bit. You know, so we're literally going all day long. So to, like, add festivals into our mix, as awesome as it would have been, it would have been a little, I think, just a little, we would have been burnt out very quickly, you know?
For sure.
So you're working while you're on the road, Destin. You're doing the editing and production. That's good because you're keeping it fresh, right? It's in your head and you know exactly what clips you want to use probably.
Yeah, I mean, we don't get as far as we want to. Like right now, I mean, basically we have episode one, episode two done. And it's all Drew. Drew does all the editing. I can't really take credit for that.
And like I said, it's very high production value. It's really well done. So my question is how do you fund all of this?
Kickstarter.
How can I do it?
Kickstarter. Okay. I've done two Kickstarters. I did a Kickstarter for the first season, and that was for $7,500, and we got $12,000, I think. And then I kind of had a moment where I was like, I can't do another Kickstarter. I can't, you know. It's a lot of work. People don't understand how much work actually goes into it, and it's... So I kind of like took a deep breath and was like, am I going to do this? And my partner was like, why don't you reach out to Field Roast? You love them. And I was like, you know what? I think I will.
And they're generous.
They're, and they're just, out of all the companies that I could sort of partner with to like forward the message and get on the road with, Field Roast just falls at the very top of my list. Mm-hmm. They've been amazing.
And I like that they're an ethical, animal-friendly company.
Absolutely. Yeah,
it's a vegan company, right?
So, yeah.
Very
and
much so.
They, you know, they were on board, and we just started working on the project together. And so once that kind of fell into place, it was the universe gave me a big sign. So then I was like, okay, second Kickstarter.
Yeah.
So I hit the ground running, and we honestly, it was going real slow until the last 5 days.
Wow.
And finally, the last 5 days, there was one big donor, and then donations just started to come in. And within like 12 hours, we had made over like $20,000 and hit our goal.
That's amazing.
So it was kind of like once that one thing happened, then everybody was like, oh yeah, I'm in. Cool. You know? And I was like, where have you been for 25 days?
Oh.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Because for 25 days, it was me pulling my hair out, what little hair I have left.
Aww.
But no, at the same time, all that happens and you're just like, again, the universe, like it's such an amazing feeling to know you're working on a project that makes a difference with people and resonates with people. And then to have people support it like that is such a great feeling. So it was really cool.
Right. For sure.
Yeah.
How long have you been vegan?
7 years.
Cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so how does this, you said that you see this as sort of a form of activism, right?
Absolutely. I think we all have our different places in this, you know, and I don't think it's fair, you know. First and foremost, I mean, I'll just say this. Before we can love the animals, I feel like we all need to love each other and support each other's journey on this. And we're all just trying to help and make a difference. So it's cool that, you know, different people have their different places and different things they feel passionate about. That's how we all make a difference together. And mine just happens to be food. I happen to think that it's delicious food. I got more interested in cooking when I went vegan than I was before. It was the vegan aspect of it that made me go, oh, I want to get more into this and figure this out, you know?
Right.
And it's almost like a science sometimes. So you feel like you're doing a science project, you know,
totally.
A very delicious science project. And you know, if science class had been a little more like that back in high school, I might've, you know, gotten better grades.
Right.
So it's cool to look at food that way. And it is a form of activism, because if I can take, you know, a tray of cupcakes into a social gathering and nobody's vegan there, and then they're all eating the cupcakes and they're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And then I go, by the way, that's vegan.
Right.
And you can get the recipe right here.
Yeah.
They're kind of blown away. And
right.
then you've made a difference. And then it's up to that person. If they get really invested, I feel like we educate ourselves on what, you know, resonates with us. Again, you start to like unfold it more and go into it. So.
I always say that food activism is one of the most effective forms of vegan outreach. Mm-hmm. I'm always a proponent for that, and that's why I'm always bringing good vegan food to Omni events, as I'll call them.
For sure. Yeah. That's the best way.
You gotta dispel that old myth.
You gotta reach people through their stomachs.
Yeah.
Well, and especially now, there's so much just amazing food out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy to bring something to a party and not say anything, back away, and then be like, oh, by the way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
people never know.
Yeah, they never know. And then they're kind of excited about it
because
you weren't aggressive with it when you walked in.
Exactly.
You let the food speak for itself, and then you were kind
of able
to like...
You got to bring something that's delicious.
Exactly.
Not something that's
totally.
Too odd or anything,
yeah.
but, you know, something that's just like I might have talked about this on the show before. I made a cheese plate once with like 5 different handmade cheeses that had the same names of the traditional kinds that tasted exactly the same.
Wow.
But with vegan, they're all labeled vegan. Oh, they love them.
Oh,
and this is my military job. They loved it.
Wow.
And people, I actually owe someone some cheese in my band that I play with, because he did me a favor and I said I would repay any whoever helped me with food. And he's like, I remember that cheese of yours.
Oh.
I'm like, okay, I'll make you some. It takes a week, so it'll be a
right.
And then they felt better too. I'm sure they felt better after eating that cheese too. So that's even better.
Very cool. Yeah. So, Amy and I were talking about New Orleans earlier, and I noticed you made a stop in New Orleans back in April, right?
Yeah.
Any highlights from that trip?
Oh, I've been to see. I ate everything that you guys talked about. Yes. You'll see everything you talked about in the episode when it comes out. Well, you'll see the beignets.
Nice.
I think I had some mac and cheese there. Both po' boys.
Nachos.
I mean, I had the nachos last time I visited. We didn't get those on camera because I just done San Antonio and everybody did nachos. And I was like, I love nachos, but I can't do any more this season.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, it was, Seed was great. Did you guys go to Carmo at all?
Yes.
No. Is that place you did?
Yes,
yeah.
I've
did you have the
twice.
Rico?
What did I don't remember what
it
I had.
It is this open-faced plantain sandwich. And it's delicious. But if you go back, have the Rico at Carmo. It's outstanding.
Nice.
There's a place called the Crepe Cart inside the market there, where it's all Is it all? It's not all vegan crepes, but they have like a separate place where they make vegan and gluten-free crepes.
Cool.
Super delicious. Their Breads on Oak. Did you guys go to Breads on Oak at all?
No.
Oh, you know what? That sounds familiar. I think I did, actually. Like a little corner cafe.
Corner
right?
cafe, beautiful building. Bakery. Yeah. They make almost everything is vegan.
Yes, actually, yeah, I did go there.
A great couple that owns it. Sean and Shemaine O'Mahony. They're just fantastic.
Right. Yeah, it was lovely.
And the food was delicious. So, I mean, New Orleans is really starting to... And there's a bunch of... Dat Dog has... Field roast products on their menu now for vegans. So, cool. I mean, there really are just a bunch of different options in New Orleans. And Sneaky Pickle? Anybody go to Sneaky Pickle?
No.
No.
I like a good Sneaky Pickle. Yeah. I don't know what one is, but I ate like four pickles yesterday. They're on my mind.
It looks like this little rundown house, and it is, you go inside, and it is some of the most delicious vegan food you've ever had.
Wow. Yeah.
That's amazing.
New Orleans is nailing it.
Did you have a chance to try Dreamy Weenie?
No.
That place is really good.
I must have been focused. Focusing on that dog, I guess.
Yeah, they have like foot long hot dogs.
Oh my gosh!
And they're all vegan.
Do they make them? The hot dogs
are they actually a foot long? Yes. I've never actually seen a 12-inch hot dog. Yeah, that's terrifying to me.
Yeah. Yes, they're a foot long.
That would have made for a good episode, though. I wish I would have.
Think of the visuals, right?
Right. So yeah, so you've traveled all over the U.S. eating awesome food and filming your experiences, right? So tell us about some of the other cities that you've hit so far in season two.
Oh, gosh. So we started in Seattle, and I love Seattle so much.
I love Seattle.
General.
I'm from Seattle.
Oh,
I didn't know that.
I'm so jealous. Such a wonderful, peaceful place. The air is so clean. I just like, I can stand in the street and just breathe fresh air all day. It's just must be the New York in me that's like, there's fresh air here.
Right.
I'm just going to stand right here. I'm good.
And the ocean.
Yeah. Oh, it's so great. And the restaurants there are just...
So much good food there.
So much good food there. It's
insane.
Yeah. Wayward, Cafe Flora, Vegan Pizza Pie. I'm trying to think where else we went. We went to 9 places. We tend to do 3 to 6 restaurants per episode this year, but that one we kind of like, we were straight out the gate. So we were like excited to get going. I was like, let's just do it.
Yeah.
You know?
It's amazing.
So it was, we really tackled Seattle. There's a place there that we didn't cover called Pedroso Cafe that has. It's not a vegan place, but they have a vegan mac and cheese on their menu.
Oh, wow.
And it's outstanding. And I applaud these places that are putting vegan options on their menu. And I think it's our duty as vegans to support them because they're doing it so that to answer their audience. Mm-hmm. Like people have asked for it, you know, and people get upset. They're like, why would you cover a place? Not that I cover them, but I have places that have something for everyone. There's two reasons. One, I think we need to support them so they keep putting vegan items on their menu and starting to eliminate the other items. Mm-hmm. And also, I can take people there who are not vegan. Mm-hmm. We can all order stuff and I'm going to get my vegan item that I know is going to be delicious and let them try it. So again, that's another moment for us to sort of like educate people around us or just give them an opportunity to try something that they're not going to order regularly.
Right.
So maybe they're going to go in there the next time and they're going to get a vegan item. So I just think it's really important that we support these businesses that are trying to at least make an effort.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, some people get down on them, you know, you still offer meat products. I'm like, well, they can't go. They have a business, they have a clientele. They can't go from serving these things into not serving them.
Very suddenly.
You know, they've got to make a transition. Just like look at that. Like, I mean, 7 years ago, I wasn't vegan.
Yeah.
You know, we all have our own journey and like our own transition and how some people do it cold and some people, you know, it takes them a while. So, I mean, it's a process for everyone. And I think we all need to respect everybody's process.
Yeah. I like what you said too about how you can go there with a group and then let people try the vegan dish. Cause I think that sometimes, you know, I know people who are very picky eaters and very, you know, not necessarily very adventurous eaters. And so sometimes it can be hard to convince people to go to an all vegan restaurant or something.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, if
you now
get them in the door.
Yeah, maybe if they try something at that one, then maybe you can get them to the all vegan restaurant next time. And they'll try, they'll be like, oh, I had that one time. Let's try it.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, Seattle is a memorable city, but I mean, really, I every place, it's amazing to me the growth that is happening with all the cities. Like everybody's really starting to latch on and see and get that it's delicious food.
Yeah.
You know? So it's really cool to see a bunch of different cities are really making a lot of progress.
Absolutely. Well, I'm just looking at the time. We only have 1 minute left. Oh, this has been such a great conversation. We're so involved. So do you want to just briefly tell us about the Vegan Roadie I Spy contest?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's only a few more days left, but basically if you take a picture and you post it on Instagram, tag it with I Spy, Kaled It, and Field Roast Across America, you have a chance to win prizes. I actually have some in my bag for you guys. You don't even have to play the
Whoa.
Game. Yes. But you get some coupons to Earth Balance, coupons to Field Roast, and then you get some official Vegan Roadie merch, basically.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
You can check out more details at veganroadie.com.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's a blast.
And that's so great. And yeah, we hope you enjoy the rest of your stay in Vancouver, and we'll be sure to follow all your vegan adventures in the future. So for listeners, if you'd like to watch episodes of the Vegan Roadie or to enter the Vegan Roadie and Field Roast I Spy contest, visit www.veganroadie.com.
Well, thank you. That was an awesome interview. You have been listening to Animal Voices on 100.5 FM, CFRO, Co-op Radio in Vancouver, Canada. Please join us on our next show, which will be next Friday, July the 1st. Not only is it Canada Day, but July 1st is Sanctuary Day. So we'll be celebrating by telling some stories of our experiences at animal sanctuaries. Plus, in light of the Calgary Stampede coming up soon, we'll be presenting a segment on the rodeo. And for our feature interview, we'll have Executive Director of the Humane League, David Komen-Heidi, on the show to speak about their involvement in the decision for the United Egg Producers in the U.S. to stop the cruel practice of chick culling and what this will mean for the chickens. We here at Animal Voices want to connect with you online. You can go to our website, animalvoices.org, to listen to past shows, and you can subscribe to us via iTunes as well. Stay in touch with us via our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver, and you can join us on Twitter at Animal Voices YVR. We are an all-volunteer run radio station. We do need help. If you are interested in producing or hosting shows or doing interviews and you have good organizational skills and are familiar with the issues of animal advocacy and veganism, please do send us an email at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com. We can use your help and training will be provided. And you can also send us suggestions and comments about the show. Once again, that's radioanimalvoices@gmail.com. We're closing the show now with a song called Come Fly With Me by Frank Sinatra. Stay tuned for Radio Eco Shock with Alex Smith. Thank you so much for listening to Animal Voices today, and remember to be kind to the animals.
Come fly with me, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come fly with me, let's fly away. Come fly with me, let's float down to Peru. In Llama Land, there's a one-man band, and he'll toot his flute for you. Come fly with me, let's take off in the blue. Once I get you up there, where the air is rarefied, we'll just fly starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so near. You may hear angels cheer, 'cause we're together. Weather-wise, it's such a lovely day. Just say the words and we'll beat the birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's perfect for a flying honeymoon, they say. Come fly with me, let's fly away. Once I get you up there, where the air is rarefied, we'll just glide starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you
You may hear angels cheer, 'cause we're together. Weather-wise, it's such a lovely day. You just say the words and we'll beat the birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's perfect for a flying honeymoon, they say. Come fly with me, let's fly, let's fly. Pack up, let's fly away.